a story that is just, again, a tenor of the times here. Have you noticed that we've had all of these shootings have taken place in an era where the Washington legislature is supposedly cracking down on gun rights? You know, they've tightened the laws against open carry. They've tightened laws on gun magazines. They want to further tighten requirements to get a concealed carry permit, which is interesting because most states are loosening their criteria on things like this. And yet we find ourselves with more violence, not less violence. You know, over the weekend, Congressman Comer, who with the new Republican majority in the House will be assuming a powerful committee chairmanship, was asked if he's going to use his new prominence to crack down on gun violence. And he said, passing new laws doesn't stop crime. In other words, cracking down on guns does not reduce crime. And of course, there's now a hue and cry about, oh my God, this guy's so out of it. But the fact of the matter is, when you crack down on lawful people's ability to own or carry a firearm, all you're doing is taking guns away or making them more restricted or making them more difficult to obtain or making them more difficult to carry among people who already follow the rules. Well, that's not the problem. The problem are people who don't follow the rules who possess guns. The problem are people who don't follow the rules who carry guns, who don't follow the rules and who shoot guns. Here we've got an absolutely chilling story. Como's Jeremy Harris, where a young couple, young working class couple, goes to the South Center Mall. It's now called Westfield Mall, but it's been known as South Center for generations. And there's a big food court there. And so one of their traditions is trying to catch a weekend meal together at the food court. And they've been together since high school. And so they go, they have dinner, and they're walking back to their car where somebody says, hey, they're walking toward the end of the row at the parking garage at South Center, and somebody says, hey, is that your car over there? And they said, yeah. And they said, I think some guy's trying to steal it. And they run up to their car, and you know, sure enough, there was someone prowling through their car. And he shot and killed the young man. This just happened. Here's Jeremy Harris. Spoke with his widow. Her name is Mary. Mary,
this act of violence was completely unnecessary.
The gunshot wound in her hand is healing.
You know, I've had him here forever.
But Mary Wesselwick's wounded heart may never fully heal from the sudden death of her husband, Chris.
Chris and I have been together since high school. We've been married for the last 8 years.
Chris and Mary came to the Westfield South Center Mall on a Friday night for dinner, something she says they've done countless times. As they were walking to their car in this parking garage, they encountered a suspected car prowler.
Yeah, we were just walking and chatting and laughing, and someone off on our left asked us if the car at the end of the row was ours, and we said yes, and they said, I think someone's trying to steal it.
The suspect shot both Chris and Mary. Chris didn't survive.
I don't know what the right answer is, but something has to change.
Como has covered the history of violent incidents at the Westfield South Center Mall, including multiple shootings in the last year.
And honestly, it wasn't until after this happened that I went online and started seeing how many other incidents had happened at that mall.
Yes, and Westfield officials had told Como that they're going to beef up their security. But again, this was before this incident happened. I'll tell you what about this story left a really unsettled feeling with me, and that is they spoke with a family friend, a peer. Another guy, you know, who appears to be in his late 20s, maybe early 30s, who talks about how sad it all makes him. And, you know, his voice will never fill this room again. And he tears up and talks about how much he loved his best friend. And a curious feeling was swimming over me while I'm watching the story. I'm thinking, okay, I get that you're sad. What does it take for you to get angry? I get that you're aggrieved. When are you going to get enraged? I said, you know, your friend is dead. It wasn't because of a tragic accident. You know, the car didn't go over the embankment and he didn't make it and she did. It wasn't something that was fate. It wasn't something that was an accident. Some guy killed him. Some guy killed him. For no reason other than the fact that he interrupted the guy while he was trying to steal his car. And, you know, I look around places like the city of Seattle, and I'm thinking, you know, why is there not more anger? And I'm not talking about misplaced rage. I'm talking about targeted anger at why it has become so dangerous in places that didn't used to be so dangerous. Didn't used to be dangerous driving your car down the freeway. Have to worry about your children being shot in the back seat. It didn't used to have to worry. You might have to worry about your car being prowled. But did you have to worry about being shot? You didn't used to have to worry about people using stolen vehicles as battering rams to smash in the entrance of jewelry stores and other retailers so they can go in and clean out the place. That's the latest. And yet, this is where we are because criminals are now so emboldened. It didn't used to be that criminals would just casually ignore the police trying to pull them over because they know the police can't chase them. Or that they actually feel brazen enough to ram a police car and then take off. That's where we are. This is how criminals react to environments that make it easier to commit crime. This is all a man-made problem. Man-made problem in Seattle City Hall. Man-made problem in woke prosecutors' offices. A man-made problem in Olympia, where basically on the issue of crime, the Democratic majority is indistinguishable from the Seattle City Council. Just as radical, just as obtuse, just as indifferent to the criminal consequences of their actions. It's all about woke ideology. That's what's driving the majority party in Olympia on the issue of crime. That's what's driving the Seattle City Council. We're seeing the results all around us. It's a busy week with a lot of other things going on. The John Carlson Show. So glad you are here. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.